Today you hear about transcendental meditation, about classes in yoga meditation, Zen meditation. And people are asking, are these legitimate forms of meditation? Should Christians be involved in them? Or what is true Christian meditation? We read this morning in our responsive reading, Psalms 19, verse 14, where it says, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer." This morning I'd like us to ask the question, what is acceptable meditation? What is true meditation? As you go to the Orient, where these Eastern forms of meditation come out of, you see that they have a common denominator which teaches that we are all part of an impersonal universe. And they say the reason you suffer in life is because you think you are personal. They say this is an illusion. Thinking and feeling, personality, are all an illusion, and you must get rid of them in order to become part of the impersonal universe. If you go to the Orient today, you will see a variety of meditative forms. Cal Catter and myself, last November, we were in Rangoon, Burma, lecturing to over 100 Burmese pastors there from all over the country. And as you go into Rangoon, to the Shwedagon Pagoda there, you see the Buddhists in their meditation spinning their prayer wheels, chanting over and over to wooden idols and statues, trying to gain their attention of these dead idols so that they might have peace. We were down in Ceylon and Sri Lanka. You go up into the mountains there to the sacred Buddhist temple of the tooth. And there the people come and they bow down and meditate upon the tooth of Buddha, encrusted in gold and encased in a marble shrine, seeking to gain peace. If you go down to the island of Bali in Indonesia or to the Batu Caves in Indonesia, you'll see the Hindus there going into a meditative trance. And then take 12-foot skewers and stick them through their jaws and out the other end, and one through their nose, and then take 12-foot skewers that have long hooks on them, and they'll puncture their bodies with these. And as they hang out, tearing the flesh, they will run then 272 steps up to a Hindu shrine of the python and bow down and worship the snake, the serpent, seeking to gain peace and fulfillment. Today in America, you can pay $150 and buy a one or two syllable word called a mantra. Maharishi Mahesh Yogi says that if you meditate upon this 20 minutes in the morning, 20 minutes in the evening, you'll find peace. As I document in my book, which we have available on the back, every one of those mantras being sold today in the TM organization is the name of a Hindu god. And Maharishi says the purpose you meditate upon that is to call the spirit of that demonic god into you to possess you, to aid you in your transcendence, to become part of the impersonal universe. This is what yoga meditation is all involved in. Yoga is a Sanskrit word which simply means yoke or union with God, with the Hindu concept of God. Through yoga meditation or Zen meditation, you seek to obliterate all personality, become nothing, and be absorbed into the impersonal universe. But my friends, an impersonal universe never loved or cared about anyone. And as they seek to tune into themselves, as Eastern meditation teaches, tune into yourselves and find your own true nature. Instead of finding peace, what they find is instead what Jeremiah says, that the heart of man is deceitful and desperately wicked. Instead of finding peace, they find this evil nature which separates them from God. And so you find them chanting louder and louder in their meditative repetition, trying to find this peace which never comes. I was lecturing recently out in Santa Barbara. Walking down State Street there, the main street, I encountered two Hare Krishna fellows who were wearing their orange saffron robes, their bald head and pigtail out the back. And they were chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, over and over again. So I walked up behind them and I put my arms around both of them and I said, "Do you guys know that Jesus Christ loves you?"
"Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Rama."
I said, "No, Jesus Christ wants to set you free."
"Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna."
I said, "Tell me something." I said, "What will Krishna do for me?"
"Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Rama."
I said, "I know that." I said, "What will Krishna do for me?" And their eyes got big. And they said, "Well, what you have to do is chant over and over again the rest of your life, Hare Krishna. And then one day you'll evolve into the great nothing." I went, "Whoopee, rather evolve into the great pumpkin or something." But their whole goal in life was to tear down their mind and personality through a repetitious chant so that they might evolve into the impersonal nothing. But as I shared with them that day, an impersonal universe never loved or cared about anyone. Only a sovereign personal creator loves and cares. Oftentimes Christians ask me, they say, "Well, is it possible to practice meditation, TM or yoga meditation, by using a Christian word?" And so they'll sit down 20 minutes in the morning and, "Jesus, Jesus, 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 praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord." My friends, that is not Christian meditation. That is linguistic nonsense which loses all content of meaning. And Jesus said in Matthew 6:7, he says, "When you pray, do not use meaningless repetition of words." But he says, "When you pray, pray like this." And then he taught him the Lord's Prayer, an intelligent communication between a personal creation and the sovereign personal creator. If you go to a certain organization out in California called the Local Church, headed by Witness Lee, you'll go to one of their meetings. They have what they call prayer reading. And there they will chant over and over again, louder and louder, "Oh Lord Jesus, oh Lord Jesus, oh Lord Jesus," louder and louder, until they hyperventilate, achieving what is known as an oxygen rush, which produces an intensified emotional experience. And they call this praying in the Spirit. My friends, let us not be deceived. Nowhere in the Bible will you find that type of activity. That's not praying in the Spirit, it's an emotional pep rally. Well, what then is true meditation? It's interesting that if you look up the word in Webster's dictionary, Webster uses the Bible to define what true meditation is. He says, "Meditation is a definite directing or focusing of one's thought, as in 1 Timothy 4:15. Meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them." And then Webster gives us a variety of synonyms. He says that meditation is to ponder, to weigh in the mind, to appraise, to deliberate, to review mentally, to study, to ruminate. It is always a conscious, intelligent use of the mind in applying it to something.